10 o'clock one March morning, Germany's solar panels stopped working for a couple of hours. At midday, they came back churning out energy, about the same as 12 power stations. They wrote songs about it. It was months in the planning. The thing is, the grid needs the same amount of energy fed in as is taken out. And as the sun hid behind the moon, they needed an immediate power backup. So plans were made to crank up fossil fuels to fill the gap. But in a world of 100% renewables, how do we manage on all the random, sunless, windless days? Böll Spotlight, a podcast from the Heinrich Böll Foundation. Hello, my name is Abby Darcy. Today we're taking a look at European energy policy, top down and bottom up, and leafing through the Foundation's new International Energy Atlas. We go into basements.
I think it's a win-win situation. We should have invented that earlier.
We go deep into the Black Forest.
Okay, it's possible. We can do that. Look at these guys in this small village. They did it.
And into the heart of Brussels.
Citizens are with us. Science is with us. We will win the game.
Transformative change is already disrupting our energy systems. This fast-developing reality is the focus of the European Energy Atlas, a new publication from the Heinrich Böll Foundation, in collaboration with Friends of the Earth Europe, the Green European Foundation, and the European Renewable Energies Federation. The Atlas comes as the EU debates our energy future. By the end of the year, they'll be signing off on new clean goals for 2030. The authors of this atlas are challenging EU lawmakers to think bold.
We want to say with this atlas, look, 100% renewables is possible in all of Europe, and it's just a little bit more expensive than the business as usual.
Rebecca Bertram leads the European Energy Transition work at the Heinrich Böll Foundation. 100% renewables is pretty much unmentionable for most states right now. But it's entirely possible, say the Atlas authors. A handful of cities are already doing it, but too many states are still sitting on the fence.
So we have very little time. In the very moment we decide on the next 10-year framework, how much renewables should we push into the system, how efficient should we be, how much coal has to get out of the system.
This is Claude Tourmaz, a Green MEP and one of the authors of the Atlas, talking to me from the European Parliament in Brussels.
So you can imagine if we miss these negotiations now, we will lose another 10 years. And then it's basically too late to be Paris Treaty, climate treaty compatible for Europe.
Tourmaz says the talks are tough and that there'll be no deal if energy ministers don't up their game. But his argument is unbeatable, he says.
Citizens are with us. Science is with us. We will win the game.
This game is a tug of war between the 28 rather reticent EU energy ministers on the one side and the more ambitious EU Parliament on the other, trying to agree on the detail of the new clean energy laws. The original draft set a renewable goal of 27% for 2030, a 40% reduction in emissions and 30% improvement in energy efficiency. These are absurdly low, says Dörte Fouquet, an environmental lawyer and author of the Atlas, speaking at the Böll Foundation's Atlas launch. Have none of the member states heard the warning shots, she wonders.
27% können wir nicht verfehlen.
Fouquet thinks we'll have reached 27% renewables by 2024, easily. She says it needs to be 45% to hit the goal of carbon neutrality by 2050, as set out in the Paris Agreement. That goal is well within our reach, say the Atlas authors, and their solutions have less to do with what's going on behind closed Parliament doors.
I think one of the most exciting and inspiring developments is empowering citizens in shaping the energy transition. So citizens, cities, small producers of energy would be the key protagonists of the energy transitions, breaking up the status quo.
Radostina Primova is director of the Climate and Energy Programme at the Böll Foundation in Brussels. It's at the local level where she sees the most potential. Cities are the eager front runners. Some are already fully powered by renewables, and 1,000 mayors have committed to it by 2050. But go even further down, and it's about communities where passive consumers are becoming active prosumers, producing, consuming and selling their own energy. EU citizens could cover 45% of the whole of the EU's energy needs by 2050, says the Atlas. For the first time, energy communities will be recognized in these new clean energy laws, but it needs to be done right.
They currently face a lot of legal barriers, so they need to be supported by enabling frameworks at national and EU level. The transition to 100% renewable energy is absolutely possible with this kind of energy citizens.
Energy systems are traditionally run by big, remote companies, but energy communities keep the money local. They generate up to 8 times more profit for their region, says the Atlas. EU-wide renewables have created 1 million jobs so far and could do the same again by 2030. Down in the Black Forest, a little community started an energy revolution. It was back in 1986. The Chernobyl nuclear disaster had just happened, and 2,000 kilometres away in Chernow, locals were being told not to eat homegrown vegetables and were trying to keep their kids indoors. A cooperative started as a group of worried parents against nuclear. It turned into a real David and Goliath story as they fought for control of the local grid. They got it and filled it with renewable energy.
They were coming from a completely different background, right? They had no sort of experience of energy policy or...
Yeah. They had basically a vision, like enabling people to produce, consume their own electricity. And they attracted interest from all over Germany, also by people working in the energy sphere.
Peter Ugolini-Schmidt is their man for energy policy. Now the cooperative powers almost 200,000 homes with renewables. There's an irrefutable economic argument, he says. The revenues fund new wind and solar projects and create jobs. Germany was very supportive of cooperatives in the past, but regulations have changed, and Ugolini-Schmidt hopes the new EU legislation will level out the playing field.
To allow for local energy communities not only to produce green electricity and consume it, but also to market and sell electricity in the neighbourhoods on a very local level. The European Parliament is very pushing for this point, which I think is good and absolutely necessary. I hope it stays there. And the only way you reach the acceptance for more wind projects is also to allow people to benefit from the production of their own electricity. At this point in Germany, there are some obstacles. I hope that the European regulation can sort this out.
Germans are some of the most active in renewables. 1.5 million people here produce, store and share energy from their homes. It could even go cross-border if regulations allowed it. Ingolf Pernice lives in a leafy district of Berlin.
You have the 16 panels on your roof and the solar energy that's produced, what happens to it?
This goes down to the cellar in a battery.
So Pernice can create, store and use all of his own energy, and upstairs he can monitor it all online.
If you look at this here, so it's pretty nice to...
So you can see each day how much you've used.
How much I have used, how much has been produced. So you see...
So on this beautiful sunny day, you're producing more.
Much more. I think it's a win-win situation. We should have invented that earlier.
Any excess he produces can be shared with the Sonnen community.
If I have sunshine here in Berlin and others in Munich, for instance, have rain and cold weather and no wind or so, this energy can go and be used by people in Munich.
His monthly bills are now just 11 euros, less than a tenth of what he used to pay. Sonnen is a multi-award-winning company getting a lot of attention right now. With this battery, homes can be pretty much self-sufficient. Digitalization is really disrupting the way we use energy. But at the moment, it's at the stage, like the IT industry, before the personal computer, there's a long way to go. The new EU laws could dramatically open this up. Even Poland is interested. Yes, coal is still their national gold. They're even building more coal-fired power stations. And no, its modest, renewable targets most likely won't be met, but there is some good news. And it comes from an environmental lawyer.
The biggest energy utilities in Poland are also planning to invest in offshore wind power plants. While the solar and wind energy is becoming cheaper, it's not possible even for politicians or for miners' lobby to block the transitions.
Małgorzata Smolak from Client Earth says renewables are getting their foot in the door, and it's because of Polish citizens.
Society is changing, and even in Silesia, which is our mining region, due to heavy air pollution in Poland, Polish citizens are demanding more clean energy sources.
So there is public support or growing public support for renewables in Poland?
Yes, in fact, there is growing even more prosumers market for solar energy. People are much more aware, and they are taking the opportunity to even produce the energy from renewables.
In fact, the amount of energy produced by Poles themselves has quadrupled in the last 2 years. And Smolak says Polish law puts virtually no hurdles in the way of energy cooperatives. But over 80% of its electricity does still come from coal. And its goal for 2050? 50%.
It's the dirtiest fuel that you can imagine.
Rebecca Bertram again.
And as long as we don't tackle the coal problem, we can do as much on the renewable energy side. It won't pay out into the climate equation. So that is clearly something that Germany has done wrong.
The Atlas is not soft on Germany. Yes, it's shutting down its nuclear reactors and aiming for 95% renewables in the power sector by 2050. But that only accounts for 20% of its energy. The other 80% for heating, cooling and transport relies heavily on fossil fuels. Germany has not got its emissions under control. The new government here has even said it will miss its 2020 goals.
It sends out a devastating message because it says we're doing an energy transition, but we're not reducing emissions. That must be at the core of any sustainable energy policy in any country, and Germany is not passing this. If we are serious about an energy transition, we need to think beyond just electricity, and we need to think about linking sectors to electrify the transportation sector, to electrify the heating and cooling sectors.
States aren't working in a joint-up way yet, but for 100% renewables to work, they'll need their neighbours to provide the power backup. Bertram says states need to start thinking European.
These are volatile, intermittent energy sources that are not always available. So a European grid gives the necessary flexibility, backup options for countries to essentially secure their energy security at all times. So countries on their own cannot afford to think energy transition on their own.
And again, this is already happening. Look at the North Sea region. Small-scale projects are already sharing energy across borders. But it's tricky, navigating different national regulations. It's something the new energy laws could break down. It's this micro-level change, these smart, profitable, democratic solutions, which ministers need to pay attention to, say the Atlas authors. And they urge European countries not to jeopardise this progress, but to foster this transformative change. That's it for now, but if you want to learn more, you can download the Energy Atlas on the Heinrich Böll website or get it sent to you. Thanks for listening. Böll Spotlight, a podcast from the Heinrich Böll Foundation.